Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. It's very, very cool. We're continuing our week with film guests, people from the film and television industry. And I'm very, very excited today to be for our guest and to be talking to him. He's got a new movie that is out. I believe it's out. I'll have to ask him. But anyway, I'd like to welcome, I dig this movie a lot. The movie is called Bloodhound, and the writer, director, and co-producer, Mr. Jason R. Miller, is on the line with us. Jason, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, man? Appreciate you having me on.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. First off, I got to ask you, because I got turned around, and I don't have it in my show notes, and I don't understand, or I'm not seeing it. Is your film out now, or is it coming out?
Yes, it just came out yesterday everywhere.
Nice.
So streaming,
awesome.
iTunes, all that stuff. Yeah.
Very cool. How exciting. How exciting. That's awesome. This is a – well, first, before we get into about the movie, I want to find out a little bit about you. I was looking at your IMDb, and it said you were born in Boston. I went to college in Boston. Are you still up in that neck of the woods?
Oh, really? Yeah, I was born and raised in Revere, Massachusetts, which is
nice.
The most Boston place you can be, I think. And I went to high school there, and I went to Northeastern University. Where did you go?
Actually, very cool. I went to UMass Boston, and I lived in Dorchester, right off the Red Line.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Yes. Dorchester
yeah, it's
is...
It's been a long... I'll put it this way. It was so long ago, they were still doing the big dig. It wasn't done yet. As a matter of fact, it was just starting.
Yeah, well,
when
I moved to L.A. from Boston, they were still working on it. And then when I would go back home for like 5 years later, they were still working on it.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, Boston's cool, man. I had a really – you know, it's funny you mentioned that you went to L.A. When I got out of school, I said I need the polar opposite of Boston, just weather-wise, you know. And
yes.
what it was is I was tired of shoveling my parking spot in the snow, and then I couldn't believe this happened. I'd never heard this happen before. Somebody stole my lawn chair. You know how you shovel the spot and you put your chair there?
Yeah.
And only in Dorchester would somebody, because nobody else, everybody did that. Nobody took your lawn chair.
Yeah.
They took mine.
Yeah.
But anyway, I moved
that's
to San Diego.
That's a random thing to steal.
Exactly. What are they going to do with it, you know? But I guess they needed a place to sit or something. I don't know. But, yeah, I moved down to Southern California.
That, I was going to say, the funny thing is that everyone I meet in L.A., every new person that I meet is usually from Boston. So I feel like everyone has the same idea on the East Coast. They all move over to the West Coast.
It is hard to go back to New England in February after you've been in Southern California. It is cold.
Yeah.
Oh man, well that's cool. So let me ask you, when you were growing up in old Beantown there, was film and working in film on your radar? I mean, is that what you were you like the film kid?
Well, it's interesting. I went to school for graphic design, so my ultimate goal in life was to be a comic book artist.
I gotcha.
And then
I hear you.
And then so I started studying graphic design, and then I had a film class in college, and that's when I kind of realized that is like more of a way to go, because I wasn't the greatest artist, so I knew I had to try a lot harder than other people.
Right. Yeah, I do that. That's what I do for a living, is I'm a painter, and you know, when I was starting out many a million years ago, my plan, the plan was, I was going to move to L.A., and I wanted to paint album covers. That was my big thing. And, you know, that kind of went away. Technology happened, and I had to adjust my sales. Oh, that's cool, man. That is cool. Well, you've had a few movies out. I mean, you've been doing this for a while, but you're just, this isn't like right out of the gates or anything. You've been involved in a bunch of movies and
TV
series.
I started producing movies when I first moved out here. I kind of went about things backwards. I moved out here and I was an assistant for this production company for like a week. And then they needed someone to re-edit the entire movie because they lost their EDL, which is like a file that makes it so that you can bring up the edit for your movie again. And so all they had was a DVD and the raw footage. And I had to match cut the movie from a DVD. And so that was kind of, it's a labor intensive thing. And so I just said, yes, I would do it. And after that, they kind of made me a producer. And so I was producing right out the gate. Yeah.
Nice. See, that goes, any of the listeners out there that want to get into film, there's some great advice there. Say yes to everything when you're starting out. Because you never know.
Yeah, exactly. That's literally how I've gotten everywhere in life, is I just say yes, even if I don't know what the hell I'm doing, I will say yes, and then figure out
right
after.
That's right. I agree completely. Works out well. I remember, I'll never forget, this is before I went away to school. I had this girlfriend at the time I was living with, and, you know, she laid down the law. She's like, okay, Picasso, here's a newspaper with one ad. Go get a job. Don't come home till you have one, or you're going to have to find something else, you know, somewhere else to live. So
yeah.
I wound up going to a diner. I'm looking through the want ads, and I see this ad for a thing. It said, demonstrators, we'll hire anybody. And I'm like, what the heck's a demonstrator? So I call them up, you know, and they're like, hey, you ever go to the grocery store? Do you see the people giving out free samples? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, you think you can handle that? Like, yeah, I think I can handle that. So they're like, okay, come in for training. I'm like, okay, so, you know, what kind of training is this going to be? Anyway, long short of it, I go into this place, and they said, yeah, you kind of got it a little more together than, you know, we're used to. Why don't you come down the hall? I left that place with a job in marketing. Had no idea what I was doing. Had a secretary in office. Came home and told my girl, you know, that not only did I get a job, we have to go suit shopping because I don't have anything to wear. Yeah, she was happy, but it was a reserved happy. Yeah, I had that job for a couple of years. So pretty good. And like you said, I had no idea what I was doing.
That if you're halfway intelligent and you just say yes to everything, then chances are it'll work out for you.
Exactly. And then who knows, you'll be, you know, making movies and stuff and going to fancy Hollywood parties and living the life. And, you know, it could work
That's
out
right.
great. Just look at Jason. It's he's doing it, man. He's doing it. This is pretty cool. Well, that's cool. So you got in backwards and whatnot. Let me ask you this. Now, when did you have the idea? And I don't even know. My hat goes off to you guys because I've done a lot of crazy things in my life, but I've never had the thought of, hey, I'm going to make a feature film, you know? And not only that, I'm going to write it, direct it, produce it. Just watch out, baby, because these take time and money and, you know, you signed up for that.
You have to be a little bit crazy to want to do it. And because it's so much work. It's like, especially Bloodhound was a labor of love because, you know, we had such a small budget and I had such a kind of big scope of what I wanted to do. I wanted to shoot all Los Angeles downtown at night. And we only had like three people on the crew, so I could get away with, I forget what the law is, but it's a law where if you're a documentary crew, you can get away with shooting without a permit. So that's kind of that's how we did it, but it was a lot of work to get done.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Velvet Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
Nice, nice. Well, that's, you know, in downtown L.A. is kind of weird, too. A lot of people, people have this weird notion about Los. I mean, I did. The first time I went to Los Angeles, I kind of thought the whole city would be like the back lot of the MGM, like you see in movies and stuff, you know, like it'd be cats running around sets. And yeah, it wasn't anything like that. not at all.
No, it's not.
I was telling somebody that, and they're like, yeah, you have to go to Burbank. So I went to Burbank, and it was just industrial buildings. I mean, like industrial parks. They're like, no, the magic goes on inside.
Studios.
Right. That's it. Well, downtown L.A. is crazy, and it's almost got this cool shabbiness to it that it just looks like kind of tired. You know what I mean? And I don't mean that in a derogatory way, because it's beautiful in its own right. But it lends itself to what you were kind of going for, this neo-noir kind of backdrop setting, you know? And I think that's just great location there. Fantastic location for your film.
Yeah, I always say that Los Angeles is kind of the third main character in this movie, because as I was writing it, I would take these drives in the middle of the night. I would drive downtown and just like kind of scope out the areas that I wanted to shoot at while I was writing. So it helped me kind of get inspired. And there's just so much going on downtown at night, in the middle of the night, that it's like you could write a whole movie based on that alone. And the crazy things that you just see going down, and the weird, you know, activity that happens in L.A. at night. It's scary and inspiring at the same time.
Right. Absolutely. It's I had a friend of mine describe downtown L.A. at night one time. He said it's like He goes, it's like an old dancer. You go to a second-rate strip club. There's an old dancer that just did a line.
She's tired, but she's jerky.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah, so LA, you know, this is a very cool film. Now, did you have, what was the time frame like from conception, having the idea for Bloodhound, to execution, and then, where you're at now, distribution and everything, and having it out? Was this a long process?
It was short, and then it became long. So basically, I came up with the idea really quickly after my first movie, Unidentified, and I was like, I need to make another movie as soon as possible. And I had this idea. I had the idea of the character first, Abel Walker, the character, because I knew I wanted to have this weird kind of, he seems normal, but he's us kind of guy, quirky. And I knew I wanted to make him kind of not likable. And
right.
I just needed to find out where I'm going to drop him, what story am I going to drop him in. And when I came up with the idea of the private detective angle, and then kind of unfolded through there. And so the script kind of happened really quickly. And then we shot it really quickly after that because I knew that I wasn't going to get the budget that I, you know, would normally have for a sci-fi or a horror movie. So I just kind of cobbled together some money and made this movie. And so we shot it over 12 days. And then I edited it really quickly. And then I was having issues because I needed to do sound design, and that's the one thing that I don't do. So I, wrote, direct, edited, produced, and did the score and visual effects and color. I do all that, but I don't do the sound. So finding the right sound person to make it feel real was a difficult task, but I finally did, and then it was done. And I needed a distributor. So that's the part that's taken a little longer. And then High Octane came in and they loved the movie. So it's been about a year and a half since it was made.
Wow. Yeah, it's
yeah.
Like I said, when you guys make these films, sometimes that's not bad, actually. A year and a half isn't bad. I've talked to people that have, been working at it for 16 years on a project. That is not, I'm not exaggerating. That really happened. I had a guest on, gosh, a couple of years ago. And, you do a little research before the show, of course, and whatnot. And I was looking at some of the past interviews he had done, looked at on YouTube. And then I'm watching one, and I look at the date, and it was for a local news cast where they filmed this out in, I think it was like North Dakota or someplace. And it was like, 1998 was the broadcast. Everybody was real excited because filming was going to start. Yeah. And it just, you know how it is, but funds dry up and things happen. And sometimes it's a labor of love. So a year and a half isn't bad in my thought. When you were talking, you mentioned the soundtrack, and I wanted to ask you because as a child of the 80s, I love keyboards and synthesizers and all that, what a fantastic soundtrack your film had. I loved it. I want to buy it. I want more. Yeah, it was fantastic. And it fits so well with it. I really, really enjoyed that. I was going to ask, who did you have do that? It was you.
Well, I did it, yeah. It's interesting. I couldn't land on budgetarily, I couldn't land on someone that I could rely on to get the score done. And finally, I was like, I'll just do it myself. I've never done it before. I used to be in a band in high school, but that was about it. And I ended up doing the whole score on GarageBand,
nice.
An Apple app that you get on every iPad. So I just kind of scored it. I scored the movie on my iPad. And and I was like, by the end of it, I was like, this is either really good and I'm really excited and happy with myself, or this is the worst train wreck ever. I guess we'll find out when I release it.
I loved it.
So
I loved it.
Thumbs
up for me.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
goes to show, you know, it just goes to show. It's so good.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
And one of the other things I really dug about this movie, and I don't want to give anything away, because I want everybody to watch this, and they can now, because it is out. You used a lot of different film techniques, I think is the word I'm looking for, from found footage to what do they call it, fly on the wall type direct. Again, I'm not in the movie business, so I really don't know these terms that well. But I liked it, and it all blended together nicely, and it all worked real well together. I loved the narration. You know, it's so noir, you know, having the narration and whatnot. Just such a cool movie, man. Very, very
thanks.
Cool.
So my first feature unidentified was a found footage movie, and I didn't really want to go back to that. But when I came up with the story, it kind of made sense to kind of have that, you know, handheld documentary style feel. So that was, I was going more for like the documentary take on it instead of like the found footage, like these people don't know what they're doing with the camera. To Bloodhound is you have a professional camera person that's following you around. So it's a little more cinematic and easy to, you know, to watch, whereas some found footage movies are really hard because they're too shaky. So that was kind of the little upgrade that we went from Unidentified to Bloodhound. And then, I'm kind of really happy with the choices that we made. And I had a DP this time. In my first movie, I did not have a director of photography. So Dustin Perlman was like a good collaborator when we were coming up with the style of the shoot, for sure.
Nice. We'll see. There you go. Next film, you have a giant budget and cranes, and they'll even give you one of those little lens things to look through and a megaphone to shut off. I don't think anybody uses those anymore. This is a very, you know, I don't want people to get the idea that this is a, you know, an artsy, highbrow movie that you're not going to enjoy, or it'll take a lot of work to watch. I am the least highbrow person in the world, probably. I really enjoyed this movie, but this is one of those. If you want to be the cool, you know, if you're having movie night at your house and you're having a bunch of people over and you want to be the cool guy, put this film on because it's very cool, you know. And everybody will go, ooh, okay. You know, anybody can put on a superhero movie. Yes, I speak the truth. But I'm a big fan of neo-noir and the just film noir in general. You know, I love it. I can't get enough of it. And your take on it, again, it wasn't like ultra stylized and whatnot, but you definitely got the vibe. And everybody, I think all the actors, all the performance in it, got it too. They knew what you were getting at, you know, and they brought it. At least it came across that way to me when I watched it.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely like sat down with each of the actors and I told them what we were doing, and I wanted their performance to be, you know, in that hemisphere of noir. Mm. And the person that I had to work with the most, not on an acting scale, but on like a just like a confidence level with Ed Ackerman in the lead, because it's so not him, that character, that, you know, I had to convince him that he was making the right choices. And after the first couple of days or so, he's like, okay, I understand who Abel is now. And, you know, I can roll
with
it. But at first he was like, I'm not sure. I don't think it's working. And I was like, it's working. Trust me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. No, as a director, I mean, you are working with so many different types of people. But I think what your background, which is cool because you've worked on so many projects in so many different capacities and whatnot too, it isn't anything new, right? I mean, working with different personalities and levels of people and whatnot.
Well, no, as a producer, you have to kind of, you're the behind the scenes person dealing with all the crew in addition to the cast and all their various personalities and their needs and what has to happen on, you know, just the functioning movie set. So,
right.
Going from producer to director is kind of, well, not on this movie because it was so low budget, but usually the director's more protected so that, you know, they're just dealing with the actors and they don't have to worry about the behind the scenes stuff. But since I produced it as well, I was just kind of worried about everything the whole time.
You were worried about everything. Well, it's got to be interesting, though, because, you know, I mean, there's the artistic side of you, I'm sure, in this project, where you're like, okay, this is what I want to do, and blah, it's got to go this way, and da 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 da. And then at the same time, you're wearing the money hat, you know, well, we can afford to do this, or we got to do it this way.
Yes.
Does that get a little nerve-wracking and whatnot, being in those different roles?
I would say the only thing that that happens is in the back of your mind, you're like, okay, I have to get this scene done by this time today or else, you know, we might go over budget, or I have to carry it over to tomorrow, and then that pushes something else back. So that's the only thing that's, like, different. Otherwise, you're kind of, you know what you need to get done anyway as a director. So it's kind of like you always have your main goal set for the day, and you always know that you have to either make it or you're going to, you know, not make your day and have to carry it over to tomorrow.
I gotcha. Well, that's, you know, it's fascinating. And like I said, it just works so well. Now, when you have it done, as you were mentioning before, you have to move into the more of the business side of it, and start taking meetings and sending emails and, you know, submitting it and what have you. Is that a hard pivot to make?
Yes, that's probably the hardest part is, it's at the beginning and the end. So the hardest part for me usually is putting the money together and then selling the movie at the end. And gotcha. In this case, it was the latter. It was getting distribution was, it took longer because Unidentified, when that came out, it was the money people were also the distributor. So they gave us the money to make the movie and we turned the movie in and they released it. So I didn't have to worry about that. But for this movie, yeah, I had to go looking for someone to distribute it. And, that process takes a while. If you don't have a regular relationship with studios, it's almost impossible. So I was able to make, you know, phone calls of places that I knew and get leads on places that were looking for films. And then finally, you know, we ended on High Octane. And so far, I'm very happy with what they've put together.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Now, see, a lot of people, they not in the business, they don't realize that. You know, like, oh, well, I'm going to get a bunch of my friends together and we're going to make a zombie movie. And next thing you know, we're going to have $1 million. No, it doesn't work like that. If it does, you've won the lottery. Enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it normally doesn't.
The Quentin Tarantinos of the world are very few and far between where you can do it.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Well, you know, I think people glamorize anything. You know, I get that in my business all the time. People are like, oh, you know, I would love to just sit around and paint all day. I'm like, yeah, me too. Me too, buddy. But, you know, the dog doesn't make any money here. I got to feed him. You know. Anyhow, it's you know, we like to eat. Yeah, it's crazy when you're doing, but you know, like you, I imagine if you weren't making movies, you'd be going crazy. You know, this is your art. This is what you do. You know, and so far you're doing it really well. So that's a good thing.
I definitely feel like if I'm when I'm in between movies, I'm like, oh, what am I gonna do? So. I do visual effects, and that kind of fills in the gap between movies where I can be creative and have an outlet. So, yeah. So, actually, right now I'm working on a Nicolas Cage movie where he's a jiu-jitsu master. That's a lot of VFX. And so that's, like, the fun between job that I'm doing right now.
Oh, God, that's a cool life, man. You got There is somebody that's delivering pizzas right now listening to the podcast going, I got to get to LA. It's got to happen. Hey, there's a lot of pizza delivery jobs in LA. Yeah, you never know. Never know. Oh, man. Well, this is cool. So that's cool doing, no, that's like the dream. You know, everybody watched, I don't even know if that show's still on, but I know my fiance, my gal, she's a cosplayer, and she has a business where she makes costumes for people and stuff like that. But it was that sci-fi show, the effects show that they had. It was like a competition. I can't remember the name of it. But, man, she watched that every week. And I think a lot of people watched that show and said, this is what I want to be doing. I want to be doing effects and you know, working at the movie theater or the studio. I mean, not the theater, the studio. And you're doing it. How cool is that?
Well, yes, I work with a lot of makeup effects people, but what I do is digital effects. So I do the explosions and, like, you know,
the things that make the movie cool.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, visual effects and makeup effects go hand in hand, so I'm always working with those people.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now at Sprint, get any next-generation Samsung Galaxy phone and get the new Galaxy S10e to use on us with Sprint Flex Lease. The Galaxy S10e has a pro-grade camera for effortless pro-quality images. Visit a local Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 800-SPRINT-1. Galaxy S10e, $31.25 per month. Second phone, $0 per month. After $31.25 per month credit, apply within 2 bills. Requires 2 new lines and 18-month leases. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, subject to credit, $30 activation fee and restrictions. Offer and coverage not everywhere.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products. all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierock.us.
I gotcha. Well, that's cool. That's very, you know, that's why we enjoy movies, you know, it's, and stuff is all, and it's true, all the effects. We were just watching that, that new Dracula that's on Netflix last night, and, you know, it's a lot of effects in that, and, yeah, you know, man, when that guy came out of the wolf, I don't want to give anything away for those who haven't seen it, but I've never seen a transformation like that. I had to look away during some parts of that. Yeah, but again, my gal, she's into all that stuff, you know, she loves it. But I like, you know, and anymore, well, you probably have a lot of work going on then, because everything has, you know, cool effects and whatnot. Do you notice, like, trends in effects? I remember when you were, you know, when you were talking about digital effects, remember when The Matrix came out and then you had that, like, floating in space and the camera would pan around effect? Like, it was everywhere. I saw it.
Yeah.
Bullet time, that's what I saw it in a Razor commercial. I'm like, okay, settle down, guys. Settle down.
Yeah, there's definitely trends that go around. In the low-budget community, it's always like, certain blood effects that people use over and over again, and that always like makes me cringe, because I see the same like plate. So people use, like, someone shot a plate of blood, and then they sell it, and then all the visual effects artists use that same plate for everything. That always bothers me.
Oh, that's funny. Now, see, you probably. Is it hard sometimes watching other work, like movie, like sitting down and watching a movie on a Friday night or something? Is it inspiring, or you're like, oh, I know how they did that, or they could have done this like this? And is that difficult for you since you're so immersed in it?
I try not to judge movies. I like to just like have escapism when I'm watching movies, so I kind of turn off the business part of it.
I'm the same way.
The only thing that takes me out is if I know someone that's in the movie, or I know someone that's worked on the movie and I've heard stories about the movie, then that's what I'm thinking about during the movie.
I tell you, it was so cool, and High Octane, there's a couple of them. There's a couple of distributors out there. High Octane's one of them. And I get such a little thrill. Again, I'm not in the movie business at all. I have my little podcast here and whatnot, and, you know, we talk to a few people, and it's all very glamorous to me, because I'm definitely a cinephile. But, you know, I'm not in that every day. You know what I mean? When I flip through Amazon or Hulu or something, and there'll be like a little block of High Octane films, and I'm like, hey, that person was, it's usually about 6 months later. sometimes a little quicker, but I'm like, hey, I had somebody from that movie on the show. We got to watch this tonight. And my girl's like, but you watched it before the show. You know, they were on the show. I said, yeah, but we're watching it again because it's on Amazon, and I've got to see it now. And yeah, we usually watch, we'll watch a movie two or three times, yours included. Yours will be on repeat.
I like it, you know.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. There are some movies that I've seen so many times, you know, Ghost or Roadhouse, Guns of Navarone. I think I've seen that, you know, 300 times or something. But anything that I'm flipping through the channels and it's on, I'm like, oh, I got to watch this. I don't know why, but that Dodgeball movie, for some reason, it's funny, but it's not that funny. I don't know why I've seen it so many times, but I have. Who knows? Well, this is cool. Now, let me ask you this. I know with film people, sometimes it's difficult, and we're pushing Bloodhound right now. I get it. But I have to ask, because it was so good. Is there anything in the shoot that you can talk about? I know sometimes it's hard because T's aren't crossed and I's dotted and all that, but I have to ask. Because I want to see more of your work, you know.
Yeah, thank you. I'm actually in post-production on my third feature right now. So it's it's all done. We're just doing the final edit, and I have some visual effects to do. But it's a time travel dark comedy.
Nice.
And it's not documentary style. It's a regular movie. and I'm excited for everyone to see it because it's very proud of it. And it stars Bria Grant, who's in Heroes, and she's in a lot of horror movies, and she's also my writing partner. And Harry Shen, who's my producing partner, and he's on General Hospital, and he's in all the movies I've ever worked on. So it's like I picked my two favorite people, and I said, let's make a movie together. And I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch with an audience.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Well, I can't wait, and let's stay right in touch because I want to have you on when it's when you're ready, you know, when you're doing the press for it and whatnot. I definitely want to have you on the show again.
Sure.
And not only am I a noir fan, I'm a time travel fan as well. I love them, even bad ones I like. But I bet this one isn't bad. That's cool, man. Very cool. Congratulations. That's exciting stuff. Now, Bloodhound is out, ladies and gentlemen, and we have links on our show page to both the official Facebook page and the Twitter. So I suggest you, click on those links and get over there, like and share the page. Those help get the word out. That's always important with independent film, independent anything, man. If you dig something, share their social media. That's all I'm saying. You live in an algorithm world.
That's the number one thing. That's the number one thing with this movie. It's if you want to support indie movies and small movies like this, then please, pay for it legally and watch it and share it and tell everyone that you watched it. And if you like it, that's the best. That's the best for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it doesn't take all but a couple of minutes to, doesn't cost you anything. If you watch something and you like it, write a little review, wherever you're watching it. If you're watching on Amazon or something, write a little review. It helps. It helps a lot. And, there's meetings that Jason goes to with guys in suits and gals in suits. They'll ask him. They'll say, well, what's the engagement? Somebody will pull out a big pie chart and they'll say, oh, well, look at all the reviews this has got. People are really digging this. Let's give Jason a big check for his next movie. How about that? Here you go, Jason. Bring out a big check.
That's the main goal. And I'll say this. If you watch my movie and you don't give a review, there's already a review on IMDb before the movie even came out that said it was trash and not to watch it.
So really?
Those people are already writing reviews. You know, the trolls that are out there that just spend all their time writing reviews for movies they haven't seen. Those people are in abundance. So it's the people that, actually care about the movie that I want to see reviews from. Even if you don't like it, I want to see why you didn't like it instead of
troll.
You know,
that's a good point. When you, ladies and gentlemen, when you start that review, put in it, say, put that as the first line something. I actually watched this movie, or I watched this movie, you know what I mean? And let him know, because he's right. There are a bunch of creeps out there. they're really, Jason, you have no idea. I used to get hate mail. People bitching about paintings of all. I'm like, really? You don't like the painting? Don't look at it, man. How about that? I solved your problem.
They're everywhere.
I'm telling you. And you know that they're not doing anything. Not doing anything themselves. It'd be one thing. I don't know if I'd respect anybody, but maybe a little bit. If they said, well, this movie was terrible compared to the movie I made, which is here. You never see that. They never say that. They ain't doing nothing. Oh, man. Well, Jason, this is great, man. And I want everybody to get out and see Bloodhound. It's a fantastic film. Definitely check it out. And like I said, throw this on when your friends come over and do it legally. Everybody knows. Don't even get me started on a rant about that. You know, if you're downloading movies illegally, you're just a scumbag. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want anything to do with you. You know? Don't steal from artists. What the hell's wrong with you? You know? Oh, man. And don't even steal from big movie. Don't download a superhero movie. Are you crazy? Pay for your stuff.
Yeah, just don't steal. Just don't steal.
Exactly. You wouldn't like it if I came to your house and stole your stuff. You wouldn't. I guarantee you'd be talking about it. Crazy. Well, Jason, thank you so much. I know you're a busy guy, and I really want to appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to be on the show here. And you know, I can't wait to see more. Just keep doing what you're doing, man, because you're real good at it. You know.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on, and I'm glad I could talk to someone, you know, who's watched the movie and can have a conversation about it.
Yeah, well, I definitely have, and I really enjoyed it. Like I said, keep making them films, man. I appreciate it. There's a lot of there are a lot of movies that aren't that great out there, but this ain't one of them. So, you know, it's nice. It's nice to be entertained and to go into that world. Man, you created that world so nicely. It's just, I loved it. I loved it. Well, folks, that's going to wrap it up for us today. We're right up against the time. Thanks again, Jason, for being on. Man, you're awesome. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode will be, what is this, episode 935. Wow. This will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various social media platforms and all the podcasting platforms that we're on. We're on, I think at last count, it was like 225 or something. We're on a lot of them. The big one is Apple Podcast, of course. If you are listening to the show on any of these podcasting platforms or Apple Podcast in the future, hello from the past. Do me a quick favor, like we were talking, it doesn't cost you anything, it just takes a second. Hit that ratings and review. That keeps us up at the top of the page, and when I'm talking to advertisers and stuff like that, it makes my job so much easier, and I really appreciate it. And, you know, helps keep the lights on in here. Nice. We like having air conditioning, you know, that's all I'm saying. Anyway. We will see you tomorrow evening. We have a fantastic singer-songwriter returning to the show. Her name is Sharon. She's out of Denver, Colorado. She does a kind of a dark rock. Don't let her hear me say gothic because she'll bristle at that. But it's not gothic. It's kind of effervescent, I guess. I don't want to compare against it. You know how musicians get. But anyway, she's really cool. And she's got a new album out called Reflections, and she's going to be talking about that tomorrow night, 9 o'clock Eastern. So we will see you then. Thanks again. And everybody get over there to facebook.com// Bloodhound the Movie and Bloodhound the Movie over on Twitter. Like and share those pages. And watch this film, Bloodhound. It's fantastic. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. Have a good one.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.